This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. That's music from the American Repertory Theater's newest production, The Blue Flower, which starts previews tomorrow night. The show was created by Jim and Ruth Bauer, a husband-wife team who live in Beverly, and it's a musical that's basically about love and war. And in keeping with the quirkiness of many ART productions, it also has multimedia elements like video and folk art and Weimar music. Jim Bauer and actor Megan McGarry came to our studios to talk about the production. And when I asked Bauer if he could describe The Blue Flower in a few sentences, he said simply,
"No."
No, can't be done. It's a complicated show.
It is. It's about learning from history, but that makes it sound very, very academic. It's about artists who've gone off to war. And, I mean, we say it's about four interesting Germans in a love rectangle is the personal side of it, but it's this historical period when things were turned on their heads, and we found these artists that populated it. So it's very difficult to talk about in one word. I know. Yeah. Megan, do you have a one-sentence description?
Megan, you play one of those artists.
I do. I play a performance artist based loosely on the historical character of Hannah Hook, who was a photomontage visual artist as well as a performer. I would say The Blue Flower is about the artistic process, in a sentence. The symbol itself is one of reinvention and reincarnation, of reapproaching a process each time as if it were new, knowing that you will never really fully hit your end mark, but each time getting better and better.
And this is where the title comes in, Blue Flower. For those who don't know what that means historically, do you want to explain it, Jim?
So the poet Novalis, 18th century, it's a symbolize the search for artistic perfection, the one you can never get to, but you always strive for. And then later it sort of evolved into a symbol of hope, but always that yearning and search for something better, something better, something better. And that's basically the heart of the story.
Megan McGarry, many of the central characters in this performance are artists. You play one of those central characters. Mm-hmm. And these were artists who were eagerly going off to war in World War I. It was really counterintuitive. Why were they doing that?
I think war was very different at the time, or they perceived it to be. The nature of warfare was changing with the changing technology in weaponry, and it was no longer pageantry. It no longer became heroic. You know, people were getting slaughtered on
brutal.
A much greater scale than, you know, had ever been. So I think that there was a bit of naivete or just sort of a ferocity to change the status quo and to be, you know, instigators in that effort. And the reality of it was, you know, was quite different.
But these were artists who were putting on uniforms to go fight.
Yeah.
Or to serve as medical orderlies and nurses and ambulance drivers, you know, getting certifications in these things, if such was happening at the time. I don't know what the requirements were then.
What did they think they could achieve?
Well, we learned, I mean, there's great dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
It was the Belle Epoque. They were living through a time of great peace and prosperity, but also fatness and happiness. And they perceived the whole continent to be corrupt and tired and stale and not in a lively artistic environment at all, but conservative, and they wanted to turn the world on its head.
So how did these artists think they could change that culture by going to war?
There was no changing for, you know, royal empires and without shaking them up somehow. Their naive perspective was that maybe a war would do the trick. And from their point of view, the last war they could really look at was the Franco-Prussian War in 1874, and it was more pageantry. It was more about, you know, feathers in your caps and running off on horses, and, you know, maybe a few people would die, but we could turn things on their heads.
And so, Megan McGarry, yeah, you played one of those artists. Did they achieve what they set out to do by going to war?
No.
No, they did.
Well,
Four empires dropped.
You disagree. Well, Jim, you say they didn't. Megan, you say they did.
I don't think vice versa. Yeah, I think that, yes, in fact, things changed. but very quickly on the heels of this change was World War II. So I don't think that the longer-standing ramifications were what they might have envisioned. But they succeeded in the short-term goal of getting rid of the existing situation.
One of the songs in the production explores this idea of artists going off to war. Let's listen to that. This is called Eyes and Bones.
So much for yellow dawn and birdsong. Not much left of subtle shades of gray.
So much for boyish fantasy games. Way too much of blending right and wrong.
Jim and Megan, could you talk about what that song means to you?
How about what it's doing in the context of the play?
Sure. Sure, how about that question?
Well, in the context of the play, the two characters of Max and Hannah go off to war. And this sequence transitions into a song where they're on a battlefield, literally cleaning up the wounded and dead, and attending to what becomes a pile of bodies on the battlefield, fruitlessly by the end.
Not much left of my favorite.
Are all very poetic. It's the artist's view of it. It's not going to speak directly about these things. It's going to speak about them in oblique terms.
Bodies look like statuettes.
What's happening is that Max and Hannah, who have become a love interest, are now at the front together, and now the realities of war are apparent. And then the shift begins. Their original view, which was, this is going to be a big show, the most important event of our generation, we're going to get to watch it happen, history in the making, to, ooh, this has a price.
It has a grim reality.
This has a very severe price to pay, and what is it actually we've done?
How do you take this very grim topic and turn it into a musical, which is what this performance is?
You write some music and you and you start singing.
And it's good music.
Do we just have to not think that all musicals are uplifting?
I think this actually is uplifting in a way.
But uplifting.
You know, things that I find the most compelling, whether it be in books or in films or in music, is contrast. And I don't know. I'm drawn to the darker side of things. But I think this really has both components.
To understand loud, you have to know soft.
Exactly.
You know,
dynamic range.
Or vice versa. So to know beauty or something uplifting, you also have to see the flip side. I mean, you have to be uplifted from what?
This show has a lot to do with art and artists, and not just any type of art, but Dadaism. Mm-hmm. 1916, 1922 was its peak, roughly. Mm-hmm. Megan, could you talk about why that art in particular is so relevant to what this play is trying to do? This was the anarchic artist, Dada.
Yeah, absolutely. It was political in content. It started out playful and working a lot with shapes and turning things on its head. And it really followed a progression as people became more and more entrenched in what was happening in the world. And it became a little angrier, and its content shifted somewhat as sort of mirroring what was happening in the world. So it fits quite perfectly into the themes of the play.
There is a visual art element to this, in that there's an art installation of the lobby at the ART, mm-hmm. that audience goers can actually add to a part of throughout the show. What's the point of that? What do you hope that becomes over the course of the run as audience goers add to that installation?
Well, I think part of our real purpose in all of these things is to make artists out of the audience or the people who view. And that's, I think, any artist. I mean, a painter putting a painting up on the thing, they want to engage the viewer in a way that makes them an artist too. And I think we're trying to do that this way also. We're leaving things open in a way that the audience can themselves connect the dots and put the outlines on. So this then is an actual physical display of it. You too can bring in something and add to this collage. There's nothing restricting you from doing that. You don't have to be an observer of art. You could be a maker of art yourself.
Do you expect that audience goers, after having watched the production, will go up and write or draw something on this installation?
We hope so.
Yeah, we hope so. I think so.
Jim Bauer, in the many articles written about this play leading up to its opening, one of them quoted the director of Blue Flower saying about you and your wife, Ruth, what's great about them is they don't know what's the usual way of doing it. Mm-hmm. So what do you think this show gained by you and your wife being so-called theater outsiders who didn't feel tethered to the usual way of doing theater, at least at a place like the ART?
I think at a place like ART, and it allows for things to happen that don't normally happen. I mean, we don't know the rules. Anything that is done has certain rules to it and conventions that have been learned to be, I mean, that have become helpful over time. We don't know any of those.
So what's rule-breaking about this show?
Well,
you don't know. That's the best part. you don't
it
have
might
to
be different next time.
Yeah, you're not trying to break any mold. You're just who you are as artists coming together in a collaborative form, and this is what happens.
For a musical, I'm sure the subject matter is different. I'm sure the way the songs function is different. From ways songs in musicals typically do. These are poetic moments, feeling moments, not storytelling moments, and we're not trying to tell a story in a linear fashion, but tell it in a very clear and understandable way.
Jim, you said at the beginning when we started talking that this is about learning from history, I think is what you said. Mm-hmm. What do you think we learned from history in this time period?
In this time period?
World War I, Weimar Republic, World War II right on its heels.
What did we learn? Well, I think the question is open as to whether we've learned anything or not. And I think that's Max's point, too. It's a little hard, watching history and seeing it repeat itself to feel like we actually are. But there's still this hope that we do. We do seem to be repeating the same mistakes over and over again. And I think the only point is, if you have any chance of not repeating them, you have to at least understand what it was that was there before.
Jim Bauer and Megan McGarry, thanks for coming on Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Jim Bauer is the co-creator of, and Megan McGarry is an actor in the new ART production, The Blue Flower. Previews start tomorrow night.